Before starting, I would like to ask, humbly ask, for everyone's blessings that I can try to represent the Guru Parampara appropriately.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 22.
Ato vaikavayo nityam
bhaktim paramaya mudha
vasudeve bhagavati kurvantyatma prasadhanim ato vaikavayo nityam bhaktim paramaya mudha vasudeve bhagavati kurvantyatma prasadhanim ato vaikavayo nityam bhaktim paramaya mudha vasudeve bhagavati kurvantyatma prasadhanim.
Taha, therefore, vai, certainly, kavayaha, all transcendentalists, nityam, from time immemorial, bhaktim,
service unto the Lord,
paramaya,
supreme,
muda,
with great delight,
vasudeve,
Shri Krishna,
Shri Krishna.
Bhagavati,
the personality of Godhead,
Kurvanti,
do render,
Atma,
self,
Prasadhanim,
that which enlivens.
Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The specialty of devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is specifically mentioned herein. Lord Sri Krishna is the Swayam Rupa, Personality of Godhead, and all other forms of Godhead, beginning from Sri Baladev, Sankarshan, Vasudev, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Narayan, and extending to the Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, and many other thousands of manifestations of the Personality of Godhead, are Lord Sri Krishna's plenary portions and integrated parts. The living entities are separated parts and parcels of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is the original form of Godhead, and He is the last word in the transcendence. Thus, He is more attractive to the higher transcendentalists who participate in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In forms of the Personality of Godhead other than Sri Krishna and Baladev, there is no facility for intimate personal contact as in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord at Brajabhumi. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna are not newly accepted, as argued by some less intelligent persons. His pastimes are eternal and are manifested in due course once in a day of Brahmaji, as the sun rises on the eastern horizon at the end of every 24 hours. Om Ajnana Timirandascha Yinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukakaroti Vachalam Pangolangayate Girin Yakripatamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhurbhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So to give a quick overview of what's happening here, Parikshit Maharaj, he has subdued Kali during the transition of Dwarpa Yuga to Kali Yuga. But after his passing, Kali Yuga started to trickle in, and now the sages, they're experiencing the effects of Kali. And they have gathered in the Naimisharanya forest and have accepted Suta Goswami as the captain of the boat. And it's interesting, in the verse, when they're asking Suta Goswami, they're saying, please be the captain of our boat for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali Yuga. So their mentality is not of selfishness, they're thinking of others. They're accepting him as our captain. Then they have asked six questions to Suta Goswami. And the first question, does anybody remember the first question? The first question, I think, is something along the lines of what is favorable or the best thing for the people in general? That was the first question. So starting from around verse 6, I think it's verse 6 or 7, Suta Goswami begins to answer the first question. And as you can see in this verse, it's a continuation. It's saying, certainly, therefore. So it means that he has been speaking beforehand and he's been answering this question, and the way he answered it, he's been answering it in such a concise but detailed manner at the same time. He's explaining how The best thing for people in general is devotional service to Krishna. Then he also mentions how it is important to serve the devotees of Krishna. And then he also gives the effects on the jiva of those jivas who do devotional service. And as we heard in yesterday's class, how the knot can be removed in the heart. And other such qualities, one can be situated in unalloyed goodness. And he's explaining the effects of devotional service. And so here, it's kind of a concluding statement of this first question. And so he says, certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. So Srila Prabhupada, he begins the purport by, because you may ask yourself, or when I was reading, I asked myself, okay, why is devotional service enlivening to the self? And Srila Prabhupada begins by saying the specialty of devotional service, of what is the specialty of devotional service? And then he begins to carve out, Krishna's special position as Swayam Rupa, right? And this also being confirmed by Brahma, which is a very legitimate confirmation, as we can see at the end of the purport, that it says that these pastimes are eternal and are manifested in due course once in a day of Brahmaji. So Brahma, he has the great opportunity of being able to witness all of these wonderful pastimes of Krishna and his avatars coming to the worlds every day. And Lord Brahma confirms in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtan Nana Avataram Akarot Bhuvaneshu Kintu. So he's saying, Ramadi Murti Shu, he's saying avatars like Sri Ram and other plenary portions, Kalani Amena Tishtan, they have come into this world. He goes, but Kintu, but Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramahapumanyo. But Krishna, he personally comes. Krishna personally comes alongside with all of his subjective portions. He comes and he experiences, he's the, and Paramahapumanyo, the Supreme Personality of God is. So here Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing Krishna being the Swayam Rupa, the original fountainhead, and then begins to explain very not very detailed, but the expansions of Krishna, how everything comes to be. And this is a very important explanation to understand who Krishna is. Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur in the Bhagavatam, he explains, and Srila Prabhupada quotes him in 2.4.10, that one must keenly be interested in the Purusha avatars and Shristi Tattva, the creational functions. Not that just we just focused on the internal pastimes of the Lord. And it's interesting because as a Gurukuli, or as being born into this movement, we're born with hearing the pastimes of Krishna and dolls of Krishna and everything like that. So it's easy to be attracted and want to know about Krishna, but also it can create a level of familiarity, or we can say stagnancy. That, oh, we know Krishna and we know that Krishna is within our hearts. But if we truly want to know Krishna, then we have to understand his internal and his external energies. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he's kind of like our Gurukuli Acharya. Because, you know, it is mentioned that he grew up with dolls of Krishna. He grew up hearing pastimes of Krishna. But as soon as his material world was shaken, he was cursed. He had to leave in 7 days. What did he do? He inquired submissively, and he inquired appropriately to a bona fide spiritual master. So growing up in the movement is also very important to understand Krishna, to give a philosophical foundation of who he is. Because then when the material world slaps us and the material world comes in and shakes us a little bit, then if our philosophical foundation or our understanding of who Krishna is isn't strong or isn't based upon knowledge or appropriate knowledge, then our faith in Krishna can wither very easily. And we actually see that happening a lot, that we can become distracted. Or so Parikshit Maharaj, he's giving us the proper example of how to understand Krishna. And Sukadev Goswami is also showing the example of how to be the appropriate guru. In that same purport where Srila Prabhupada, he quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in 2.4.10, he also mentions the importance of the spiritual master understanding the external and the internal energies of the Lord, and being able to share that the spiritual master shouldn't just be conversed in the internal pastimes of the Lord. And if we see it, if we step back and see, okay, why is it important? For myself, is that, you know, when I see for myself, oh, because I've seen in my own life, in the life of my friends around me, that maybe the material world comes, slaps us a little bit, and then the faith is easily questioned. But also, if we want to study Krishna's pastimes, if we want to develop our relationship with Krishna and really understand his personality, then we have to understand how everything is manifesting, how everything is happening. And for example, we learn that from the Srimad Bhagavatam that, you know, from Krishna, then Balaram, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, then Sankarsan, Vasudeva, the Chaturvyuha, the Mula Chaturvyuha, then there's the second Chaturvyuha, then there is, you know, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, then Shirodakshayi Vishnu, which is in everybody's heart. So, but the beautiful benefit that we have from learning more about Krishna and understanding who this Krishna is, we can actually understand this Achintya Bheda Bheda aspect, meaning that yes, he is everywhere, oneness, but difference. That Shirodakshayi Vishnu, yes, Krishna is in everyone's heart, but that Shirodakshayi Vishnu is at the same time is different than Shyamasundar Krishna. And we have the opportunity of inviting Shyamasundar Krishna within our hearts. This is a special benediction that we get from our Guru Parampara, that we can understand who is the original person, and we can invite this person into our hearts. So just as when Krishna manifested in the jail cell in Mathura and through Devaki's womb, is giving us the example of how to invite Krishna within the womb of our heart. That first, the 6 sons of Devaki were removed, which represent the 6 vices, kama, krodha, lobha, right? Lust, anger, greed, delusion, madness, and envy. Is that right?
Yes.
And then once, you know, us trying to remove with the best of our knowledge, we have to invite Guru within our hearts. It's like Balaram, he's the 7th child, and he was in the womb of Devaki first before Krishna to prepare everything, and he is Adi Guru. So we have to invite Guru within our hearts. And as spiritual master, as just mentioned, of one who is conversant of the internal and external energies of Krishna, then that guru can help invite Shyamasundara Krishna within our heart. Otherwise, you know, we can say, you know, I have, you know, yeah, Krishna's in my heart. Of course, Krishna's there as a witness, but it's much different when we are consciously inviting the swarup, Swayam Rupa form of Krishna within our hearts. It's interesting because a quick pastime just popped in my head. Kind of lost my train of thought, but I guess it's somehow connected. Because if there wasn't a difference between, say, Narayan and Krishna, if there wasn't a difference, then how come in this wonderful pastime of when the gopis were looking for Krishna in the forest and then Krishna, he manifested his forearm form, the Vishnu, the gopis, they didn't immediately see him as Krishna. Actually, the gopis, they offered their respects, but and then what did they do? They asked, where is Krishna? So there is a difference. And if they're wanting to know where Krishna is, who Krishna is, they are the highest transcendentalists. And it's amazing in this purport how Srila Prabhupada, he hints to that. He begins to hint to the highest transcendentalists. He says, thus, he is more attractive to the higher transcendentalists who participate in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. And we are following the example of the greatest devotees, of the highest transcendentalists. So, and why are they so attracted to Krishna? And then within this verse, they are attracted to Krishna, and at the same time, Sutta Goswami is saying that with great delight. But why with such great delight? Why? Because Krishna is the ultimate experience. And I like the way Srila Prabhupada, he used these words. He says, therefore, Lord Krishna, how did he say it? Oh, and he is the last word in the transcendence. So I was conversing with a friend about this verse. I was like, so what? You know, we were talking about different ideas of what does this mean? What does this mean of last word in the transcendence? And, you know, with today's technology, everything, you know, you get every year, there's the 11.1 iPhone, and then there's the 11.2. So we're saying that Krishna is the topmost. Goloka is the topmost. It's not that there's a Goloka 2.0. Or you know, a newer, better version of Krishna in an alternate reality. Know that Krishna is the ultimate experience. The Goloka Vrindavan is the ultimate experience. There's nothing beyond that. So if you're associating, you're inviting within your hearts this, the ultimate into your heart, and you're having a daily relationship with this person, how can you not be in great delight? It would be impossible to not be in great delight if there's a conscious relationship. But that conscious relationship has to be done with attachment. It has to be done because we see in the Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya, right, of the process of getting to Krishna Prema. It's interesting because from Shraddha even to Ruchi, there is still chance of falling back down. But if you get to Atta Shaktis, it's much harder. Because we've seen, even in our example of myself growing up in this movement, we have seen devotees who have had the sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, who were fixed, who've had tastes. You can't say they didn't have tastes because they gave their lives to Srila Prabhupada. But somehow, some have fallen. Or, how do you say, taking a break in their intense Krishna consciousness. Of course, we don't want to judge who falls in this because we don't understand their relationship or how, you know, it's manifesting. So we shouldn't judge, but at the same time, we have to observe. See, but if we attach shaktis with attachment, because once we have attachment, the mentality is not a selfish mentality. It becomes a selfless mentality. If I want to act, if an attachment to in my relationship to my friends, then I put the effort of thinking, you know, what does this person like? Right? So if we have that mentality in our relationship with Krishna of what would Krishna like? And this is cultivated, then every act, every word, every thought, then is an in meditation of what I can do to please this person. And this comes into how my understanding of Sakya Ras, of friendship with Krishna, because every Ras has the Ras before, right? So Sakya Ras has Shanta Ras, has Dasya Ras. So it's this understanding of Krishna, of awe and reverence is there, the understanding is there. But Srila Prabhupada, he defines in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Sakya Ras as intimacy with no awe and reverence. But it's not that there isn't awe and reverence understood of Krishna's great position. No, that position is understood. But it is contained internally. It is contained within. Because if externally it was shown, that awe and reverence was shown, then the Sakya Ras wouldn't be able to manifest. Right? The ecstasy, I guess what you would say, is controlled because maybe this jiva has understood, oh, Krishna wants a friend. I want to be this friend. He wants a friend. I want to be this friend. And that, you know, of course, the relationships are eternal, but just giving an example of like the ruka, the pastime of the ruka, where in order to serve Krishna appropriately, he was fanning Krishna, he had to control his ecstasies. Other than he would tremble and shiver and he wouldn't be able to fan Krishna appropriately. So in this same way, if we have this selfless mood, then we get the opportunity to also experience intimate relationships with Krishna and Balaram. And how Srila Prabhupada says here, he says, in forms of the personality of Godhead, other than Sri Krishna and Baladev, there is no facility for intimate personal contact as in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord of Vrajabhumi. And we're given access to that. So, we're able to have these intimate pastimes, these intimate relationships with Krishna, with Balaram, then how can we not be delighted? We must be delighted. And if we just now meditate a little bit on their pastimes and the personalities of how intimate they are with their devotees and with each other, then we can begin to see the opportunity that we have and the opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has given us. I forget which verse in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe Prangovinda Prabhu, you can enlighten us. But I remember reading where Krishna, he will follow his devotees just to gather the dust from the lotus feet, the dust from the feet that they have. That is also there?
Yeah, 11:14:16.
Oh, okay, thank you very much. But just see how amazing, how intimate it is that Krishna, he wants to follow the footsteps of his devotees just so he can get a little bit of the dust from their feet when they're walking. Or Nityananda, who's Balaram himself, in the festival of Panihati, that he voluntarily chose the service of receiving all the guests by washing their feet. How intimate is that the Lord is wanting to wash the feet? Imagine if that was a standard here. For example, we have the festival coming now, the 10 days of the festival of the Holy Name. Everyone who came and walked in, every guest, that they would get their feet washed. I mean, maybe he's not used to this culture, but I mean, they want to do that. I don't have that desire of wanting to do that. Maybe, I mean, if, I don't know, that would probably become a hired service. If it was a mandatory service, I don't think that, you know, the higher authorities would want to do that. And who's a higher authority than Krishna and Balaram? Or the beautiful pastimes or the relationships that they have with each other, the intimate relationships that they have with each other, like in the Krishna Sangati, in this book that Shivaram Swami wrote. There's this one pastime that completely captivated my consciousness of, you know, after Uddhava, he returned to Vrindavan, gave the letter, he spoke to the residents of Rajabhumi. He returned, some time passed. Then Lord Balaram was getting anxious to go back to Vrindavan. He wanted to go back. He kept on reminding Krishna, "So Krishna, when are we going back to Vrindavan?" Krishna said, "Yeah, yes, we're going. It's just that very, you know, we have these important things, you know, the royal order, and we have meetings and all of this." And Balaram's okay. He's being patient. And Balaram is, his love for his devotees is pulling him so much that he's getting impatient with Krishna, saying, "Krishna, it's time to go now back to Vrindavan. If you don't go back, if you don't want to go back, that's fine. Then you stay here. You're very busy. I'm going to go. If you want to come with me, then let's go together." But when it came time for him, Balaram decided to go. Krishna didn't. He had to stay. So Balaram, he went there. Krishna gave the message to Balaram through his ear of what he can share to the residents of Rajabhumi. And the description of Balaram returning to Vrindavan is so beautiful that it is mentioned that when they left, slowly Vrindavan started to dwindle, right? The river Yamuna didn't flow appropriately, that it started to become like a stagnant river, if that's even possible, a stagnant river. And just like now the fall season is coming and the leaves are drying up and falling from the trees were empty. The cows, they weren't pasturing, they weren't herding, they weren't moving, they were frozen. All of the residents of Rajabhumi were walking around as if haunted. And Balaram, just the fact that Balaram is returning to Rajabhumi, just by his presence getting closer and closer, the trees started to fill with flowers and green leaves. The Yamuna River started to flow as she flowed. All the residents, they started to feel ecstasy within their hearts. The cows, they started to eat grass and move around the pastures. And it explains that it was such a festive atmosphere that the Lord was returning, that all of the residents, they gathered in around his chariot to receive him. And he came and they were just so, so happy, throwing a festival. They couldn't believe their eyes that Sri Balaram has returned. Even though Krishna didn't return with him, they were still happy, of course. I'm sure they noticed. But how can you complain when Balaram is returning? And it is mentioned that he sat down to speak to all the residents of Raj. And he's an Antashesh, he has thousands of mouths. And that he started to speak as if these thousands of mouths were speaking. And everyone was, there was, pin drop silence. That no one was even blinking. And they were just drinking up all of the activities and the pastimes he was talking about Krishna. Right? But and then the difficult part came. Balaram had to relay the message to the gopis. So he had to relay this message that Krishna told him, that he gave to him through his ear. And Balaram, he's on his way to meet with Krishna's gopis to relay this message, and he's thinking, he's like, they don't want to see me. What am I going to say? You know, and he's thinking, you know, he's having this, what, you know, they're not going to be appeased. How should I start the conversation? How? So he gets to where the gopis are. And, you know, lazy intelligence. Balaram is the most, he's the ultimate delegator. At that moment, Krishna was in Dwarka and he was sitting in his quarters. And at that moment, Krishna thought, he sat back, he closed his eyes and he thought, I wonder what Balaram is doing in Vrindavan. And when he closed his eyes, his palace around him, it transformed to the forest of Vrindavan. And Krishna could see the gopis. And Krishna started speaking. But actually, it was Lord Balaram's potency, Sankarshan, his Sankarshan potency that he invoked into the mind. He pulled Krishna, he said, no, you deal with this. You speak to them. And so Balaram started to speak to the gopis. And the gopis were amazed because they were seeing Lord Balaram, but they were hearing Krishna. They were hearing the tone of his voice. They were hearing everything. And he was, his language, everything. Krishna was speaking. And then after Krishna spoke, when he finished his conversation, for a split second from Balaram's mind, he invoked Krishna. From Balaram's body just manifested quickly the form of Shyamasundar and then he vanished. The gopis got a split second darshan. And then Balaram continued. He stayed in Vrindavan, I think, a few months, and then he returned to Vrindavan, to Krishna. But see, these pastimes, they're so wonderful. There's no comparison of these beautiful pastimes, of these intimate pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Or to continue this story, because Krishna, Lord Balaram came to speak to the residents to see them. But and then also he did the service, maybe some like 100 years later, of helping bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. When Krishna, he couldn't take the separation more. Krishna was there in Dwarka. And of course he had his Gupta Vrindavan, he would go, he would meditate there. But his ecstasy came to a point where he couldn't anymore. And Krishna fainted. Krishna wasn't waking up, but he's the king. And Krishna's completely fainted. And Uddhava, Balaram, they're worried, oh no, what are we gonna do? And they're so Narada Muni comes and he gets the cloth, he checks, you know, the airs, and he says, oh, he understands what's happening, that he's in ecstasy, he's experiencing bhava. So Narada Muni says, I know exactly what's happening and what he needs. Well, what's happening is that Krishna is not here, he's in Vrindavan. So even if we wake him up now, if we wake him up here now, he will be in Vrindavan, and then his mannerisms, the way he would be acting, wouldn't be kingly. It would confuse the citizens of Dwarka. It wouldn't be good for his reputation. So we have to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So who's going to take the responsibility of communicating, you know, to prepare everything for Krishna's arrival? Uddhava said, I already tried. I went there, they're just going to call me a liar because I told them Krishna's coming in so much time, they're not going to believe me. And Balaram said, I second that. I also went, I shared the message, and
they won't take my word seriously. And then Subhadra Devi was there, Krishna's sister. So I've never been to Vrindavan, you know. Maybe they'll believe me. So they agreed. They said, yes, they'll believe, you know, she's the princess, Subhadra Devi, if she goes. And Balaram said, okay. So but if my sister goes, the older brother has to protect, so I'll go first. And so this is the pastime of Ratha Yatra, right? Well, Balaram, he led the way, Subhadra was behind, and then Krishna came in the back, and this is Krishna returning to Vrindavan, and we celebrate this. And so we have these intimate pastimes that Krishna has given us and that Srila Prabhupada has given us that we can experience here in America, now in 2019. And this opportunity that we have is it's something so special, because not only do we have access to these pastimes, but we have been given this access through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because there is a bridge from the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that of Goloka Vrindavan. And that special portal, that special bridge, it isn't there for every avatar of Krishna to his direct pastimes. But this Audarya Dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly connected to the Madhurya Dham. So if we absorb ourselves in what the Guru Parampara, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us in this current day and age, in Kali Yuga, now, then we get access, we get the possibility of being able to experience Krishna in his fullest form. But in order to do that, there's a few responsibilities that we have. One time I had a conversation, when I was in Vrindavan, I would in the evenings like to go and speak with Ayendra Prabhu. And one time I asked him, I said, you know, well, it seems like Kali Yuga is just, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came just 500 years ago, and you know, we're continuing the Sankirtanya. He came to give Sankirtan, and there's Sankirtan now, so technically can't we just say that we're currently in Gaura Leela? And his answer has stuck with me till today. He said, yes, Gaura Leela is happening now. But you have the choice to either be in it or outside of it. So I asked him, so then how do we be in it and how do we stay outside of it? He said, if you want to be in Gaura Leela, in the pastimes that of Krishna that are manifesting now through Guru Parampara that Srila Prabhupada has continued, then if you want to stay in it, you have to have sadhana. If you don't have sadhana, you can't expect to be in Gaura Leela and you can't expect to be able to relish what is happening now. So we have this wonderful opportunity. We have this this knowledge of being able to understand Krishna in a very personal way. Because when I was reading this verse yesterday, I was thinking of the different, you know, from Krishna to Shiva Dakshai Vishnu. There's about 13 expansions that happen. It's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion. And I was thinking, what about Krishna's personal expansions? The Vaibhav Prakash Leelas. Prabhav. The Prabhav Prakash Leelas of Krishna. And I was thinking, and I just started
It was because this idea of being able to even understand that there's expansions of expansions of the expansions allows me to even meditate of maybe, okay, then so there's something special about when Krishna expands himself. And those leelas aren't, they're not many, right? There's Bahulaswa, when it was the King Bahulaswa, and what was the name of the Muni? Satyavrata? No. Is Bahulaswa and this other Muni that Krishna went and visited both? Shrutadev, Bahulaswa, he, you know, expanded. Of course, Rasa Leela, you know, Brahma Vimohan Leela, the wives, the 16,108 wives. What other? There's, you know, we can count in a hand. And I mean, Krishna, he's all powerful. If he wants, he can constantly be manifested doing multiple things at the same time. But why doesn't he like to? And when he, and then even when he does multiply himself, what is the reason? Is it for showing off? No. Krishna's humble. He's shy. He's doing it. And if you look at each pastime, is to give pleasure to his devotees. Or even the pastimes of Govardhan Hill, when he lifted the hill, he's all powerful Krishna. He could have had the hill floating and he could have just been with. But why did he hold up the hill for 7 days? Why did he do the work of standing there for 7 days with his arm raised in the air? To show off? Not at all. Actually, he saw it as an opportunity to serve all the Vrajvasis. And also, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami explains that he did it also to glorify Govardhan Hill, to show that the Govardhan Hill was greater than the king of the heavens, Indra. So Krishna, in this act of Govardhan Hill, if we just study his pastimes and we can see the reasons why he does things and all of the characteristics and the details in all of his leelas, then we get to increase our desire to be able to invite him within our heart. If we don't understand Krishna's actual position as the Swayam Rup and his connections with all of his devotees and the connections of all of the expansions and everything like that, then we won't be able to experience that intimacy. We won't be able to experience that intimacy. And also another thing that just came into the consciousness now is we can be able to even relish more our relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because then we can actually understand the Pancha Tattva. Right? Because the Pancha Tattva, in the five tattvas, one of them is the expansions, right? One of the tattvas then is incarnations, right? Nityananda, Advaita, like that. So then we understand the different tattvas of this Supreme Person. And not only that, he is waiting for us and ready to be able to reveal himself more. But just like that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, if you can say the Sanskrit, that he reciprocates accordingly. So, but there has to be an effort put from the jiva, and where we utilize our free will properly. So to conclude, I would just like to point out again Srila Prabhupada's ingenious way of presenting Krishna in this verse. He took the opportunity, the liberty here to explain, because he didn't go so much, if you see, he didn't go so much in why the delight of devotional service, devotion. He started explaining immediately Krishna, how Krishna is this special, this, and how he is different, and he begins to. And here he even how he hints to the higher transcendentalists, to the Vrajvasis, to the intimacy of Lord, everything is in such a condensed, profound way, in a short purport.
It's ingenious how Srila Prabhupada has given Krishna to us. And we're so thankful that Srila Prabhupada has given everything. Sometimes maybe there's this question, but there's no doubt. There's no doubt, because just in this one purport, Krishna gave, Srila Prabhupada gave everything. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mother Ragatnika.
Oh, I just wanted to express how pleasing it is to hear you speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm sure you're a great delight to your father here and all of your mothers and Prabhus. Thank you. I could just sit here, go on hearing you, go on and on. You speak with such utsaha, you know, enthusiasm. It's apparent that you're in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, inside, not outside. And also your love for Srila Prabhupada's books. I can see your astuteness in the philosophy. It's really very, very nice. Thank you. And you did clarify something for me. When often we've heard the question, if Krishna is in our heart, how can we invite Krishna in our heart? It sounds contradictory. But you clarified it. With your philosophical astuteness, you said, Shirdakshai Vishnu is in the heart, so we can invite Shyam Sundar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Tamaha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very, very nice class, and I can only repeat Mother Agamika's fine praise for very interesting, very, very well presented, very philosophically sound, you know, excellent job, and we look forward to seeing you regularly on the schedule. One thing I found is very interesting, I mean, many things interesting, but you were talking about that sometimes people who are born in this movement may feel attraction for Krishna, and but sometimes that attraction for Krishna is not well grounded in philosophical and really understanding the position of Krishna. Therefore, the faith can become shaken, or somebody can go away. And I guess I don't want to make you a representative for your generation. That's not really fair. But in one sense. You mentioned two things, I think, that were essential. You talked about sadhana as being critical, and obviously the understanding of the philosophy of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and something obviously that you've taken to. I'm just wondering if you had any real, I mean, this could be a very long discussion, but maybe a quick thought or two of how other young people or second generation devotees can become more encouraged to understand the philosophy, develop sadhana, you know, really take it up and become then inside Lord Chaitanya's movement.
Thank you so much. And actually, I just wanted to point out, thank you for encouraging me to give class. And I know that you were part of the reason why I'm able to share Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much for, it's a risky thing. I didn't take the class or it's definitely, like you said, a longer discussion, but I think for the most part, luckily, because of my parents, I had a very wonderful experience in ISKCON growing up. We often hear maybe, you know, some negative sides of upbringings in ISKCON. I guess so far my story has been the fairy tale story of this, you know, growing up in ISKCON. And actually, I also know, and it so happens that my wife, her whole experience of ISKCON and growing up in ISKCON as well is a fairy tale. And also, we've met many people, but I guess maybe they say that usually the feedback, usually the negative feedback is the one that's more or heard, and the positive feedback is. So, in that positive experience in ISKCON,
One of the repeated instances was definitely having association from exalted Vaishnavas, most definitely. And that, you know, my parents were always making sure that we were in good association. And also we had the great honor of being able to have time with His Holiness Ratatija Swami, and he was a really great example in my personal life. And then apart from that, you know, just being open to so many Prabhupada disciples and so many leaders in our movement, and them also being very open and being very receptive. And I think having that association that definitely has helped to inspire, because, I mean, you need inspiration. And some people find inspiration from peers. Some people find it from elders or from reading. And I mean, you definitely need guru, sadhu, and shastra in order to feel that inspiration. And it can come from either. And I guess one of the ways that we can do it for our younger generations is, well, first of all, is my age generation, like the second generation, third generation now there's even fourth generation, you know, kids that are ready being born, is that we take a little more responsibility in understanding ourselves, the philosophy, and also having compassion within our hearts to be able to share this with our peers. We just have to know how to do it, because, you know, when you share knowledge with peers, it has to be done a little bit more strategically. But then also the younger generations, we travel with all the younger boys. So I myself have the opportunity of connecting with the younger generations, and we have nice discussions and everything like that. But I guess cultivating those experiences. So definitely bridging the gap. So just to conclusive way, is bridging the gap, and then also the younger generations. Those who are either are apparent leaders or who have leadership tendencies to be able to take more responsibility. Those are two first things that come into my mind. Any other reflections before Guruji Dharmaraj Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, yeah, thank you again for wonderful class and setting such a good example. You talked about being in Gaura Leela, and so I want to share. Once I heard Gaur Govinda Maharaj describe, I actually met him once, and that happened to be just a few months before he left his body. And he was describing that, he said, look at Krishna, he's the tree banga form playing his flute and relaxing, but if you want to be in his association, you have to be like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with your hands upraised, straight, you can't be twisted to be part, which means strict sadhana, strict practices. So it's just a different way of the way you describe it. Mm.
Thank
you.
Share
that.
Pangovinda Prabhu.
Oh. Okay. Really happy today, just hearing you. Because I always contemplated the sentence Prabhupada's made. One's intelligent head has to convince the heart, convince the sadhaka to put the heart in the chanting. So it's like very, means what I understood from that sentence of Prabhupada, that one has to be very well knowledgeable about the philosophy in order to have a pure chanting appear on the tongue of his while he's chanting. So today it made me very happy that your understanding of this purpose given philosophy is so good, and you also naturally inclined to the chanting and your sadhana. I'm very happy to hear. You don't believe how much happy I am. Just to see you. Bright future.
Premananda Gaur.
I wanna be like you when I grow up. Oh, that's for real. But I was just listening to your class and seeing how fantastic, and I describe Krishna as supercalifragilisticexpialidoso personality. And just when you're talking about just focusing in, you know, just getting to know Krishna, I just popped in my head a pastime of Dinabandhu Prabhu. He was in our home telling us about Krishna. And one time he was with Maurya Sora, and then he was playing outside, and you know, Maurya Sora wanted Krishna to come back home already, it's getting late, you gotta sleep, you know, like every mom, like that. And then Krishna was like, no, I wanna play more. So then Maurya Sora, he said, no, because you know, in that forest, you know, there is a monster that lives in the forest. Then Krishna says, really? I never seen a monster. He says, yeah, how is that monster? Then Maurya Sora started describing the monster. He said, you know, this has fiery eyes, and you know, the hair is scorching these, and his legs are like timber. And then all of a sudden, you know, this creature that she was creating started coming out of the forest. Krishna, you know, when Dinabandhu Prabhu told us that past, and she turned around and she saw this big, huge demon that she created, wrong, you know, coming out of the forest, which is running with Krishna. So yeah, you know, I mean, I was just wondering, you know, the form of that demon, but how Krishna is so wonderful that, you know, he can manifest so many transcendental pastimes. And I just feel that I'm still stuck in these rajas and tamas without being able to dive deep in.
Grantaraj, oh, Prabhuji Sita Di Prabhu.
I can't help myself, but I was driving in and you said there's no Krishna 2.0. From another angle, isn't there always a Krishna 2.0? I mean, everything is always expanding, realization, pastime. But it's the same Krishna.
It's the same Krishna. It's ever expanding, ever youthful, ever fresh Krishna. Hare Krishna. Granta Rashima Bhagavatam Kira.